Welcome to Romancing the Table with modern-day goddess Cynthia Dodona, a celebration of love, life, and food. Cynthia's key ingredients will nurture and delight the palate, heart, body, mind, and soul. Now, here's your host, Cynthia Dodona.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Dodona, and you're listening to Romancing the Table, a show dedicated to celebrating life, love, and food. I'm also the author of Diary of a Modern-Day Goddess, a top-selling guide to nurturing your body, mind, and spirit, and I also write a Romancing the Table blog, which you can check out on my website, moderndaygoddess.com. And on my website, you can also see the new release of a Greek Island Destination Cooking Class DVD I hosted, which takes place in Santorini, Greece. Opa! You know, I love doing this show and bringing great insights to you on how you can enjoy more love, romance, happiness, and love-infused food around the table. And in a few minutes, we'll be talking to today's guest, the talented Karen Sharp Kramer, who is a Golden Globe-winning actress, producer, and wife of the late Stanley Kramer, who directed the classic Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Sidney Poitier, Spencer Tracy, and Katharine Hepburn. I'm so delighted to talk to her because we're going to be discussing some of my favorite topics, the romance of food, the joy of cooking, and her first romantic dinner, which Karen created that won Stanley's heart. She's also going to give us the recipe that she used for that evening as well. And then we'll talk to Karen also about her and her husband and the time they spent around the table with Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy, and the upcoming box set release of Stanley Kramer classics, which include Guess Who's Coming to Dinner and other wonderful films she'll tell us about. So that's why I'm calling this show Guess Who's Coming to the Romancing the Table. It's Karen Sharp Kramer. Now, I want to tell you, I love doing this show and bringing, you know, all these great insights on how you can enjoy more love and romance and happiness and success and connection and love-infused food at the table. And I know that sounds yummy, and I think so, but I'm so delighted that so does our audience. And I just want to thank you for all these wonderful emails and comments you've been sending me. Thanks so much for the positive word. And it's really my intention to continue to provide all this information to you through my blog, and that you will be able to feel a more joyful connection to yourself and those you love in life around the table and away from the table. You know, one segment that I keep getting requests for in my emails is to repeat how you too, as audience members, can have consistent romantic meals and date nights. And the way that came about for me is when I was getting married about a year and a half ago, I started asking around for some premarital advice, and I asked a therapist for some tips on how to have a strong marriage. And he said one thing was to spend quality time each week with your husband and to schedule it. So every Sunday, my husband Jim and I sit down, and we schedule our time on the calendar. That's how life's gotten with it being so busy now. And it worked out wonderfully for us. We have an us night in the middle of the week just to relax or watch our favorite shows. And then we have a weekly date night, and we just take turns implementing it. It's really quite simple. And what you do is the person in charge just picks up the newspaper and talks to the other person about what they might like to go see. And if you're looking at your calendar and you have kids, this would also remind you to schedule child care or to schedule a date night after they've gone to bed. And you can also add a family night onto the calendar, too, so everyone feels included. But to help you remember what contributes to a successful date night, I've created an acronym using the word date. So here are the tips that have been helping a lot of people. D is for dinner. The person in charge of date night either makes it or makes a reservation. A is for the atmosphere. You know, think of candles or soothing music, flowers or color on the table. And make sure it's a quiet enough atmosphere to talk, especially if it's a restaurant or perhaps the kids might be in bed for that special date night. T is to take turns creating romantic dates and to discuss the options. And E is the enthusiasm in which you plan the date and also your appreciations of your date and what they've planned for you at the table. You know, as a result of me sharing my romantic meals, travel, and positive living insights, people have contacted me, and they're saying that it's the stories, the information, the music, and the guests of the show that are quite inspiring. But the best part of all is that they, our audience members, are taking the time to sit down and share more meals with their families, their mates, their friends, and also themselves, which I feel that's something that we've gotten away from as a society. So I'm so glad to hear that because I feel that this attention and celebration around meals and connection to your loved ones and food and the food we're eating contributes to our physical, mental, and emotional health. So keep those emails coming, and I just love you sharing your quality time stories with us, and I love sharing my quality time with my husband and loved ones. And if you have a memory or love-infused meal that you'd like to share with everyone that you've shared with yourself, your mate, family, or friends, just email me, Cynthia@moderndaygoddess.com, and tell me the menu, the decor, and the place. But most of all, tell me how it made you feel. So now I'd like to introduce my guest, Karen Sharp Kramer. Karen is a Golden Globe-winning actress for which she received when she appeared in The High and the Mighty. She's also a producer and the wife of the late director-producer Stanley Kramer, who is known for Hollywood classics such as The Caine Mutiny and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which starred Sidney Poitier, Spencer Tracy, and Katharine Hepburn. Karen was born in San Antonio, Texas, and came to L.A. at age 12 to initially become an ice skater, but was drawn to acting, the profession that would lead her to meeting her husband, Stanley Kramer. And they were married in September 1st, 1966. When they were married, Karen became a full-time mother and helped her husband with his films until he passed away on February 19, 2001. Since then, Karen has been maintaining the Stanley Kramer Library and has her own production company, K&K Productions, Inc. And among her successful projects is a remake of her husband's Western classic, High Noon, which was for TV, and The Defiant One, a documentary examining Stanley Kramer's prolific career. She's currently working on the box set of Stanley Kramer classics, which will include Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and will be available to the public in a few months. And, you know, you can always go to the IMDb Internet Movie Database to read more about Stanley's work and, of course, Karen's. And, you know, when I looked at Karen's list, there were 56 credits listed for TV and film, so I say bravo. But most of all, what I was delighted to learn is that Karen is a woman like me who enjoys cooking and creating wonderful times around the table. So it's with great delight that I welcome Karen Sharp Kramer. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Well, thank you so much, and you are quite an innovative, romantic young lady. You're a girl after my own heart, I'll tell you. Listening to all the things you've accomplished is very, very important to all your listeners, I know, and I think new ones will be coming around to listen to what you have to say, because, you know, let's face it, romance is the most important thing in all of our lives. Whether you be a woman or you are a man, when you fall in love, the world never looked better. And, of course, the best way of experiencing that is in a relationship, but certainly around food. I couldn't agree with you more. And the ambiance of how you prepare it, how you serve it, and what you do with your entire evening. Very, very important. So I welcome you.
Thank you.
Sharing this moment with me. I'm delighted to be here and hope I can add something wonderful for your listeners.
Oh, absolutely. And you and I met for the first time on the red carpet when I interviewed you for the L.A. Greek Film Festival, and that was such a delight. I mean, you just look so wonderful. And when I read about your whole life, you've had such an amazing life. And you're
thank you very much. I've been very, very lucky,
yeah.
I must say. Some people just sort of have a lot of luck in their life, and I've been able to achieve a great deal of my dreams. And, of course, that takes a lot of hard work. You have to be willing to put in the time and the energy and the sacrifices to attain it, but I've been very lucky.
Absolutely. And I also think that the belief that some people's, you know, people hold in their minds, I was wondering, do you have a positive belief that you've kept or you've told yourself, or you've been, you know, going through acting or getting married, that you...
Well, I have the, I think it's called the six P's. Prior planning, I'm sorry, prevents piss poor performance. That's important. I'm very organized, and I think that's part of it. If you can call that successful or not, but part of my whole, I think, way I've conducted my life is having goals, and then working toward those goals, and not letting anything stand in the way of getting in the way, so I can accomplish them.
Absolutely, and I think you know, a key that success to many people. You know, a key that many people are successful with is that they think big, and sometimes I think that people from Texas think even bigger.
Well, I don't know. You say in the union, that's what they say. Well, I don't know. I meet a lot of Texans, but I meet people from all over the world, and there's always so much that they've learned in their lifetime, and I always felt so gratified that they share it with me, and as people are sharing with you, you know, their stories and their recipes and their romances. I think all of that is something we can all learn from one another.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're going to go into the recipe just in a few minutes. But I was wondering, could you tell us what drew you into acting?
Ah.
And I had so much fun on the IMDb because there's all these wonderful black and white photos. And there was a darling one of you when you were on I Dream a Genie.
Oh, I Dream a Genie, yes.
Barbara Eden and Larry Hagman.
Well, I had known Barbara for a long time because we were contemporaries. And actually, it was Larry Hagman's first show. You know, nobody knew who Larry Hagman was. But people did know who Barbara and I were. But actually, it was supposed to be a television series for the three of us. But when I got into the show, and I did it as a favor to Gene Nelson, who was a very famous actor but also a dancer, and had quite a career of his own, and then he decided to go into directing, and I said I would play the part of Melissa Stone as a favor to him, but then I realized I would be a second leading lady, and I had never been a second leading lady before, and I didn't want to continue with the series if I was going to be the evil one, you know? So I went to Sidney Sheldon, who was the creator of the show, and I said, I'm having a wonderful time, and I do anything for Gene Nelson, of course, and I love Barbara, and Larry seems to be a real find, you know, and he was a darling guy and a wonderful actor, and what a career he's had. But I said, I really don't want to be a second leading lady, so can you write me out of the show? This is right after the pilot. And he said he was very shocked, and I had my my agents work on this, but I did get out of the show, and they wrote me a lovely ending, which I loved, and so I'm in the first two episodes of I Dream of Jeannie, but at that time I had dark hair, and people refer to that show quite a bit. I guess it's a very popular series, as you know.
How did they write you out? When did they?
Well, I went to Sidney Sheldon, who is a wonderful writer, you know, and has, I think, recently just passed away. But he was the creator of the show, and I said, how am I going to get rid of Melissa Stone now? I don't want to do the show. So I said, it's not good for the show, because actually there should be many women coming into it trying to romance the Larry Hagman character, and it shouldn't just be one person, because then Barbara will look like an interloper, her character, to my romance with him, and it should be no one specific, you know. It should be a lot of different people. So he thought that was right.
Yes, and so
what he did was have me actually fall in love, have someone re-enter my life from my younger years who was in love with me, and who I then realized I was still in love with, and that's how I exited the show. It was really quite lovely. And Barbara played a chef in that show, believe it or not.
Oh, great.
She played a chef.
A little bit of food trivia.
She changes her character, because she wants to be an interloper on my romance, one of my anniversaries, sort of our anniversaries of meeting dinners, and she becomes the Chinese chef, you know?
I remember that.
Remember that show?
Yes,
and
I do.
All around the dinner table was food.
Perfect.
I keep saying, God, she's terrific. Or he's terrific. I guess he played a god.
Right.
And I said, you know, you got to bring her with us wherever we go, because why can't we have an in-house cook? You know, she's terrific.
That's so great.
Well, it's about food, believe it or not.
Yes, and the music means we're going to break. So that's such great food trivia. So we're talking with Karen Sharp Kramer, and when we come back, we'll discuss this more. I'm Cynthia Dedona, your Romancing the Table host.
Definitely a different twist radio on Voicemen's Radio Network of Talk Radio.
Sit back, relax, and travel to Greece today. Transcend everyday life with video journeys exploring the romance of Greece. CelebrateGreece.com features inspiring topics from cooking and travel to ancient history and culture. A great gift idea is CelebrateGreece.com's latest video, a Greek Islands Destination Cooking Class. Follow award-winning host, author, and Greco-Roman beauty, Cynthia Dedona, as she explores Greek island cuisine and the romantic island of Santorini. Order DVDs or download programs to watch right now. CelebrateGreece.com is Greece on demand. Opa!
If you're looking for a better way to clean the air in your home or office, you need the all-new Ozone Light. It's as simple as changing your light bulbs. The Ozone Light looks like a normal spiral type of light bulb. It screws in most standard light sockets, but it's not a normal light bulb. It's coated with titanium dioxide. It's completely safe, but this unique coating kills most airborne bacteria, mold spores, and neutralizes odors. Just one light cleans the air in an entire room and lasts 8 times longer than the normal light bulb. If you have smokers, if you have allergies, if you have pet odors, mold, or mildew, you need the Ozone Light. It will wipe them out, and you have our word. If you're not satisfied with the way the Ozone Light cleans the air in your home, simply return it for a full refund. Here's the number to call to order.
800-380-4259, 800-380-4259. Save up to $100 now. 800-380-4259, 800-380-4259.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty has just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Finally, radio that makes you smarter, healthier, and funnier. Voice America, Women's Radio Network.
Thank you for tuning in today to Romancing the Table with Modern Day Goddess Cynthia Dodona, a celebration of love, life, and food. Now back to the show and your host, Cynthia.
Welcome back. I'm Cynthia Dodona, and you are listening to Romancing the Table. I'm also the author of Diary of a Modern Day Goddess and a Romancing the Table food blog, which you can check out at moderndaygoddess.com. We're continuing our delightful conversation with Karen Sharp Kramer, Golden Globe actress, producer, and wife of the late Stanley Kramer. Welcome back, Karen.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you. And before you left, we discovered some food trivia of when you were in I Dream a Genie.
I just thought of it. At Barbara Eaton's genie character, you know, I guess she was Oriental. I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman, actually, because it was sort of a non-gender. But it is true that when we were sitting around the table, and I thought that Tony, that's the Larry Hagman character, had found this wonderful chef, and I wanted to take that chef with us wherever we went on our honeymoon or wherever we were going to live. And he didn't approve of that idea, of course, because it was naturally Barbara Eden. And he didn't want that to happen. And, of course, Our romance and our engagement began to wane at that point. And that's when I decided to change my mind about marrying him at all. If I can't have that chef and great food every night, I don't want to marry Tony.
What I think is amazing is that you went, you know, you asked Cindy Sheldon to change it, and you actually set up the very successful premise for I Dream a Genie that he would not have a fiancé, it would be another woman romancing him.
When I saw the pilot, I thought, this is not going to work for me, but it doesn't work for the show.
Yes.
And I said, you know, because it's going to look like Barbara is an interloper to our romance.
Absolutely.
And because we were all pretty strong, I think, performers and all very good, and the whole cast was terrific.
Yes.
But I didn't think it was good for the show, and I said, I think you should have many different leading ladies in his life and have Barbara have to constantly fight off the competition.
Absolutely.
And that will make it a better show. And he thought about it for me. He says, you know something, you're absolutely right. And so so I then didn't do the show after all, and then I went on to do a lot of other things, including a motion picture opposite Jerry Lewis called The Disorderly Orderly, which was being shot on the Paramount studio lot. And right across from the soundstage where I was making that film was another film being shot, Stanley Kramer's Ship of Fools. And you see, that's led me. If I'd been doing that series, I would never have met Stanley Kramer.
Wow.
Because I'd got a chance to meet him, really accidentally in a way, because I would go to the commissary for lunch every day, like everybody else. But on one side of the commissary was this long table for the cast of Ship of Fools, which, of course, included Vivian Leigh, Simone Signore, Oscar Werner, Lee Marvin, Jose Greco and his whole dance troupe, Barbara Luna, and a whole cast of of George Segal, Elizabeth Ashley. Mm. Wonderful cast.
Amazing.
And then I would watch Vivian Leigh then make her entrance. She'd be the last one to appear for lunch. And she'd make her entrance, and she'd walk all the way across the commissary, and everybody would drop their fork because she was such an icon, such a beauty, such a...
Stunning.
Yeah. It was just what movie star word means, and great actress at the same time. And so even though they were across the same stage, right across from mine, I never had the nerve to walk onto anybody's soundstage, but it was so tempting because it was Vivian Leigh. So one day I got up the nerve to walk onto that soundstage. And if you haven't seen Ship of Fools, do see the box set that's coming out, because I do include that film.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to wait that long, go rent it, because it's a terrific film. And what Stanley had on the soundstage, and these soundstages, you know, are pretty large pieces of space, you know, huge. He had the whole ship.
Really?
The whole ship on that soundstage.
<laughs> And
when I saw, I was standing like in the water part, looking up, watching Vivian Leigh walk down the ship, you know, the gangplank of the ship, while they were in rehearsal. And I heard this voice from up on the camera say, "Who is that?" And I looked up and I thought, "Oh, that's that director-producer. What's his name?"
It's her husband. Little did you know.
What's his name? I thought, "Oh, I'm glad I'm not working for him because he's too nice," you know. So the makeup artist, I guess it was the makeup artist of that film, who had worked with me before, went over to Stanley and said, "Look, that's, you know, Karen Sharp, and she's on the next thing," or whatever. And then another voice, I guess it was his AD, his assistant director, said, "It's all right, Miss Sharp, you can stay." And I thought, well, that's really rather nice, you know. And so I watched for a little bit, and then I felt kind of awkward. I'm the only one standing on this, in the water part, watching Vivian Leigh rehearse. And so I left and went back to my own stage. And a couple of days later, when I was walking to the commissary, the makeup artist from Ship of Fools caught up with me as I was walking, and he said, "Karen," he said, why didn't you stick around the other day?" I said, "Well, I felt kind of..." I said, "Did you come and talk up for me?" And he said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Well, that was so nice." I said, "No." I said, "I felt rather awkward about it." He said, "I think you should have stayed, because I think Stanley Kramer wanted to meet you." I said,
"Wow.
Oh, that's who that was, Stanley Kramer." I said, "Well, why?" I said, "Isn't this picture cast?" And he said, "Well, yes," he said, "but I'm not sure that's what he had in mind." And I said, "Oh, please, I never get involved with these people." And I didn't. I didn't date anybody in the industry. When I was working as an actress, and I was so lucky to work so long and so much, I never dated anybody who was directly involved with the motion picture industry. I just kept my private life very private, and kept my work also very private.
Sure, peace of mind.
A few days later, I began to get acquainted with Elizabeth Ashley, who has a major part in the film. And we became quite friendly. And she said, "Look, why don't you come and have lunch with me today?" And I said, "Well, you know, you don't know Jerry Lewis." I said, "He doesn't like to rehearse. And the first rehearsal we do is always on film. And I said, he always loves everything I do, and he prints it. So I'll probably be through before lunch, you know." Mm-hmm. So she said, "Well, why don't you just come on by?" And I said, "Listen, I don't want to upset that director of yours, Stanley Kramer." And she said, "Well, I'll leave you a pass." I said, "Okay." So I went to see if I could have lunch with her, because I finished very early. And she was so busy in her scene, I just went on home. I didn't even stay for lunch. So my manager then calls me a couple of days later and says, "Karen," he said, "I had a call from Stanley Kramer." I said, "Oh, yes, uh-huh." "He would like to take you to dinner." I said, "Uh-uh." I said, "No, you get me out of that. I don't date anybody in the motion picture business." I said, "I only see people over their desk about a job. I don't go out to dinner." I said, "Please get me out of this." So it took Stanley, I have to tell you, a year to get a date with me.
Wow.
He tried off. And so finally my manager called and said, "No, can you talk to him yourself, because I'm a little embarrassed about this." So he called me and he asked me for dinner, and I said I was working, and it took him another couple, 3 weeks, and finally I gave in and said, "Okay, I'll meet you for dinner." So we kept meeting at, you know, at restaurants. I kept saying, "I'll meet you there, I'll meet you there." And And finally, I knew he was interested in me, and I knew he was interested in having a relationship with me. But when I decided that that's the one I wanted, he was the one I wanted, really wanted.
Aww.
And all the men I had dated before that were great chefs, you see. But I wasn't. I didn't know how to cook at all. So I invited him to my home for dinner. And I did not know how to cook. So I called one of my men friends, and I said, can you give me a real great killer recipe for dinner that I can really prepare since I don't know how to cook, you know? So he said, yes, I will. And he gave me a great recipe of lobster thermidor. Mm. And I'd love to tell your listeners all about this recipe, because if you don't know how to cook, as I didn't at that time, it'll make you look like you're a chef or a chefess, whoever it is that's listening to the show. So I'd love to tell you all about it, but I did more than just cook that lobster thermidor. It's what I used with it and how I did the ambiance of the evening.
Yes. Well, we're going to we have about 2 or 3 minutes. So why don't you describe the ambiance, and then when we come back from break, you can read the recipe.
All right. Now, here's how I did it, because Stanley had a very facile mind. He loved puzzles. He was great at Scrabble, which I'm not. And he loved riddles and all those kinds of mind games. So before he could enter the house, I had a riddle on the door that he had to answer before he could even get through the door. That's how I started it. And before candles, this is 1966. This is in January of 1966. Before candles were that popular, I had my whole patio in candlelight.
Mm, how romantic.
And I had candles, you know, all over the living room, and of course the dining room, naturally. And I also went out and I got a whole lot of delivered balloons that had helium that hung up the ceiling. So I had it decorated in whimsy from candlelight and romance and balloons. Who would ever think of that? You
fun.
Know, to decorate it. And, of course, the dinner was set for two. And I had another riddle at the dinner table, which he never got over that evening, by the way. In fact, every anniversary, I got balloons and candlelight. Candles.
Aww.
Every anniversary for the next 35 years were because that dinner was such a success.
Oh, how sweet. And what kind of riddles? Just whatever would...
Well, you know, I can't remember what they were now. He had trouble answering them.
Okay.
But he did finally come up with the answer. So,
like the creativity.
Well, it was creative. And,
yeah,
and
very
I think
creative.
That, and that was, I think that's what really... I think he'd made up his mind. He wanted to ask me to marry him. But when I was sure that's what I wanted to do, I made sure I put the finishing touches on it and made it happen. So so it was creative, and he never forgot it.
And what a delight. And it looks like we're going to be going to a break, but that truly shows that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach and atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Absolutely contributes to it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so we're going to go to a break, and when we return, we'll continue talking with Karen Sharp Kramer, and she's going to give us her lobster thermidor recipe. I'm Cynthia Dodona, your Romancing the Table host, and we'll be right back.
We don't beat you over the head with our opinion, and we listen to yours. The new face of talk radio, Voice America Women's Radio Network.
Sit back, relax, and travel to Greece today. Transcend everyday life with video journeys exploring the romance of Greece. CelebrateGreece.com features inspiring topics from cooking and travel to ancient history and culture. A great gift idea is CelebrateGreece.com's latest video, a Greek Islands Destination Cooking Class. Follow award-winning host, author, and Greco-Roman beauty, Cynthia Dodona, as she explores Greek island cuisine and the romantic island of Santorini. Order DVDs or download programs to watch right now. CelebrateGreece.com is Greece on demand. Opa!
Ever wonder what are the favorite travel destinations of the Hollywood jet set? Where do celebrities like to go when they aren't walking the red carpet? Tune in to Traveras Celebrity Travel Talk with President of Traveras, David Manning, and Lisa O'Hurley, golf aficionado and wife of actor John O'Hurley. On Traveras Celebrity Travel Talk, David and Lisa talk with well-known actors, sports celebrities, and entertainment insiders to find out about their favorite travel destinations and what they recommend. On Travera Celebrity Travel Talk, David and Lisa also offer up feature vacations each week and last-minute deals for your next getaway. Find out what's new and exciting in the travel industry, as well as how to raise money for your nonprofit organizations while enjoying a wonderful vacation. Travera Celebrity Travel Talk with David Manning and Lisa O'Hurley broadcasts each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Travera Celebrity Travel Talk, your inside look into celebrities and travel.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her. Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
Ugh! See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUSKids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Talking about what you care about. News, relationships, health, finances. Voice America, Women's Radio Network.
Thank you for tuning in today to Romancing the Table with Modern Day Goddess Cynthia Dodona, a celebration of love, life, and food. Now back to the show and your host, Cynthia.
Welcome back. I'm Cynthia Dodona, and you're listening to Romancing the Table, a show dedicated to celebrating life, love, and food. I'm also the author of Diary of a Modern Day Goddess on the Romancing the Table food blog, which you can check out at moderndaygoddess.com. We are continuing our absolutely joyful, delightful conversation with Karen Sharp Kramer, Golden Globe actress, producer, and wife of the late Stanley Kramer. And before we went to break, she was telling us about her wonderful first date with Stanley, in which she cooked him a romantic meal and set up the atmosphere, and she used a recipe, lobster thermidor. So, Karen, if you'll tell us, actually tell us who gave you the recipe, and then if you would read us the ingredients. Some of my listeners have written in, and they said, we don't want to wait till it's on the blog. What if we want to make it tonight or something? You know, if you'll get to do your recipe
all
recital.
Right, I will. I would be happy to. It was given to me by a man by the name of Henry Wilcox, and he was a much older man. He was about 25 years older than I when I met him, and he was Cecil B. DeMille's right-hand man through all of his films. He was an actor before that. He started many films before he became the right hand of Cecil B. DeMille. And he was a great cook, great chef. I always called him a chef, even though he didn't refer to himself that way. But I called him to SOS him, what'll I do? So he gave me this recipe, and the art of romance, the art of that has gone out of our society. And I will tell you, we're all so busy, all of us, women too.
I agree.
But if you can take the time to really do something romantic and spend the time as creative as you do at your job, your loved one or to be loved one or whatever, he'll never forget it or she'll never forget it. The recipe for lobster thermidor, this is what makes it so easy. You go to, at that time I went to a place that specialized in fish, period. And I said, I want two lobsters, but what I want you to do is I want you to save me, because it would have four shells. Get me two very nice shells and cook the lobster. Save me two lovely shells. Cook the lobster and put it into bite sizes. And then give me two packages for the shells, one for the shells, and one for the bite-sized lobster already cooked, pre-cooked.
Oh, so the butcher, the fish store can do that for you.
They do that for you.
Wonderful.
In advance. So you take this home, you see, and then you've got how much time do you have when you're working to do something really extraordinary. So you get the shells, you put them in some kind of a baking dish, because you're going to put them in the oven. And then you take 2 tablespoons of, the lobster bite sizes, and you keep them on the side. You're going to make a white sauce first. And you're going to take 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of flour, 1 cup of coffee cream, very fattening, but it has to be not half and half. I guess you could use that, but I prefer
so like the full cream in the carton.
I really like it, make it very creamy. The sauce has got to be very creamy. 1/2 teaspoon of poultry seasoning, which is a surprise little ingredient there. 1/4 teaspoon of powdered dry mustard. 1/2 tablespoon of paprika. 1 tablespoon of instant minced onions, which you can get in a, you know, in a jar. Or in a can, I suppose. 2 tablespoons of cooking sherry. Very important to have the cooking sherry. 1 teaspoon of pepper and 1 teaspoon of salt. Now that's your ingredients. And then you're going to remove the meat from the shelves. It's already out of the shelves when I did it my way. And they're in bite sizes. So then you're going to take a pan and you're going to melt the butter in a pan or a skillet. You're going to blend in the flour, stir in the cream, and you're going to stir all of that until it's medium thick. And then you're going to add all the ingredients, including, when it's very hot, the lobster chunks. And you let that boil. And then you turn it off and you place that all that white sauce. Now, it's thickened, you see. And you've added the ingredients of of the lobster. And then you're going to place that into the 2 shells. This is a dinner for 2 now. Remember, this is not a dinner for 4 or 5. The two perfect shells that I made sure were perfect. They're not coming apart. You want to make sure that they're strong and they're together. Then you place in the shells the mixture with the chunks of lobster in it. And then you're going to sprinkle it with Parmesan cheese and breadcrumbs. Then you're going to have your oven preheated at 450. Or you can turn it down a little bit, but you've got to watch it, you know. Because you don't want to brown it. You don't want to overdo it because then it gets dried out and it's just not going to be a satisfactory meal. You've got to brown it slightly, but you got to watch it. Along with that, I did string beans, freshly string beans, and steamed them. And then I made a puree of a banana squash. And I put a little honey and butter in it and then a little cinnamon on top. And then I made just a plain green salad because, you know, if you do a lot in your salad, it gets to be too heavy a meal. And this was didn't want to be too heavy. I think that's a big mistake. Makes people sleepy and logy, so you don't want to do that, particularly if it's romantic. You want to keep them, you know, on their toes and alive and enjoying every minute, but you want to keep them not feeling they were overstuffed. And so then I just did a nice, simple green salad with a lot of different pretty greens in it and a vinaigrette dressing. And a very light white wine. They could have red wine too if they wanted it. I had both types of wine, but Stanley decided, and I decided on a light white wine, not Chardonnay. That's just too heavy. A Pinot of some kind. And then for dessert, I served 3 different kinds of sherbet. I served lemon, raspberry, and I think it was orange, and coffee, and. It's simple, but it was not hard to do at all, particularly the main course of being the lobster thermidor. See how easy that is? But you have to have everything else ready, because if you don't have everything else ready, then that'll be overdone.
Right, well, that sounds delicious.
And you have to time it. You know, the hard thing is to time it so that when your guest comes, you don't make them go to the table like the second they get there. You know, you've got to enjoy a little bit of the ambiance and sit and talk for a few minutes. So I had all of that timed perfectly for that.
And it must not take that long to make it slightly brown in the oven.
No, you really have to be the last thing you do. It has to be in the oven.
Minutes.
You don't have to preset if you don't want to. I mean, you can do that if you want to, depending on, you know, how you're doing it and how you see your evening. But that's how I did mine. I wanted to enjoy the riddle. I wanted to confuse him at the front door a little bit so then I could rule.
With the riddles. Creativity.
Then I rule. And then it makes him think, God, this is something different, you know? And then to walk into all candlelight was lovely. The kitchen, of course, was not in candlelight, but the rest of the house is.
And
then we went on the patio, you know, to have some wine. I gave him a choice of what he would like to drink. And sometimes, you know, depending on your meal, a man could want beer. This works okay with beer, too.
Yeah.
But
and
I like
sometime,
wine.
Yeah, wine, something light, because I do believe, I tell people if you want to have romance, make sure the meal doesn't put your date to sleep, that you actually feel good after you're done eating.
I did.
So this is a nice, light.
It's not a heavy meal. You don't.
No, very light, and the everything sounds
You know, when it's lobster,
romantic,
it's that rich. You don't want to have everything rich surrounding it. That's why I throw string beans and a pureed, you can do pureed carrots if you like, or puree, you know, I did squash, with banana squash, which is like a pumpkin squash. Which was very nice, and it looked very pretty. And don't forget to put something green. For instance, I would always do parsley or something, you know, on the side, which dresses it up too. Little parsley on top is always nice. So that's how I did that meal, and he never forgot it. And then I became very interested in cooking, period.
And the joy of cooking.
And the joy of cooking. And so, and Stanley loved my cooking. So that no matter what he was doing, and of course, you know, he was working all the time making motion pictures, but he never came through the door later than 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock dinner.
Oh,
right,
perfect.
On, right at 6 o'clock, you could depend on my husband walking through the door to have dinner with his family. We never took phone calls. We didn't discuss business. It was a romantic. I always had candles on the table and always fresh flowers, and I always did. Even though we had help once I married him, we had a lot of help, but I still would oversee everything. And then on special occasions and certainly on holidays, I did all the cooking myself.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it because it's very creative.
Yeah.
And way to a man's heart, you know, or to a woman's heart too, is cooking and taking that special time.
It's a true gift to someone. I mean, you're providing something very nourishing and just, I feel the same way. Sometimes I feel like I'm Donna Reed.
Well, that's nothing wrong with that.
In a modern day
show and a very successful marriage, even though it was in fantasy, it was what we all aspire to be, isn't it?
Aww.
And today's world is too fast, too furious, and people don't think that that matters anymore. It's all about the deal. It's all about the way you look. It's all about a lot of other things. But this is very, very important for your health.
Absolutely. You're
and
well-being.
Peace of mind. And Stanley was under such pressure. I realize that. So at least have the dinner hour or whatever time you want to give it be something that he looks forward to. And he'll always be coming home to you, kiddo, because he's going to get peace and relaxation and a damn good meal out of the whole thing. And a lovely evening to boot.
Absolutely.
So music is very important, too.
Yeah.
Relaxing music. And I had it very low. But, you know, I always had lovely music that wouldn't be fast or, you know, loud or anything. And having candles, I think, is very relaxing and always romantic. I kept the romance. We were married 35 years, and I kept the romance always there, no matter what, even when the children were little. I had them always dress up for dinner. You know, they didn't have to dress weight, but I would put little moo-moos on them, and they'd always run out. Daddy's home! Daddy's home! And they'd run out and hug him and make him feel like he was the king he should be, you know.
Absolutely.
And then come right into dinner. So, and I always gave him a little glass of wine. We were not drinkers, actually. Our family never liked liquor particularly. And, but, you know, occasional glass of wine, or a man likes beer sometimes. And beer can be very interesting depending on your meal.
Yeah,
some of the Mexican beers are really, really good. So anyway, that's a whole different kind of, that's more meat-oriented, I think.
Yeah. Well, here comes the music, so it means we're going to go to break. But you truly knew how to set up a romantic table and very aligned with my philosophy. So
absolutely.
When we come back, we're going to continue this wonderful conversation. I'm talking to Karen Sharp Kramer, and I'm Cynthia Dodona, your Romancing the Table host. We'll be right back.
Talk radio that informs, entertains, and enlightens you. Voice America, Women's Radio Network.
Sit back, relax, and travel to Greece today. Transcend everyday life with video journeys exploring the romance of Greece. CelebrateGreece.com features inspiring topics from cooking and travel to ancient history and culture. A great gift idea is CelebrateGreece.com's latest video, A Greek Island's Destination Cooking Class. Follow award-winning host, author, and Greco-Roman beauty, Cynthia Dodona, as she explores Greek island cuisine and the romantic island of Santorini. Order DVDs or download programs to watch right now. CelebrateGreece.com is Greece on demand. Opa!
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
We need to schedule a bone marrow.
We need to perform a surgical biopsy.
MIBG scan.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Want pure inspiration and great ideas for action? Want to become successful beyond your hopes and dreams? Then tune in to Millionaire Mentor with best-selling author, one of the world's leading women entrepreneurs, and host, Luann Mitchell Halter. Luann and her guests, all masters of global inspiration, share their secrets to manifesting and positive daily mental exercise principles. From how to get affordable health care to billionaire mentality and bankrupt no more imagery, Millionaire Mentor dares you to live the life you love and love the life you live. Millionaire Mentor with Luann Mitchell Halter broadcasts each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Millionaire Mentor, achieve your greatest heights.
Finally, radio that was made just for you. Voice America Women's Radio Network.
Thank you for tuning in today to Romancing the Table with Modern Day Goddess Cynthia Dodona, a celebration of love, life, and food. Now back to the show and your host, Cynthia.
Welcome back. I'm Cynthia Dodona, and you're listening to Romancing the Table, a show dedicated to celebrating life, love, and food. I'm also the author, Diary of a Modern Day Goddess, and the Romancing the Table food blog, which you can check out at moderndaygoddess.com. We're continuing our great conversation with Karen Sharp Kramer, Golden Globe actress, producer, and wife of the late director-producer Stanley Kramer, who's also known for the amazing classic Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And Karen, thank you for sharing your lobster thermidor recipe for your romantic meal.
I have a great time sharing my recipes with you and my memories of my romantic encounters with my wonderful late husband.
Oh,
I was so lucky to have him for 35 years.
Yeah.
And the romance never waned. And so listen to me, ladies. The dinner table is really important. Okay.
I absolutely agree. And that's, you know, how I keep the romance alive in my life, too, with the meals and the
It's creative. Cooking is creative. It's as creative as painting or acting or music or anything else.
Yeah.
And it's what you create in your memories. It's just so special.
Absolutely. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to post your recipe on my blog, which people can find by going through moderndaygoddess.com and just clicking through the Romancing the Table blog link. And then I'll also put your holiday salad up there, which is
a winner.
And so they can check out the blog and see all that. And
Cynthia, I'd love to talk to you just a second about Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. How about that subject?
Absolutely.
About your show.
And what's perfect is that you had many wonderful dinners with Katharine Hepburn and Spencer.
And Spencer Tracy.
What did she make for
you? I want to tell you a little bit about Katharine Hepburn because I know your listeners are fascinated with her, as I think all of us are anyway.
Yeah,
she
amazing
has a
icon.
Great personality. But, you know, you probably would never know this about Katharine Hepburn unless somebody was telling you who actually knew her and was involved with her life, particularly in 1966 and from that point until her death. She was extremely, extremely feminine. Now, that comes as a shock, doesn't it?
Mm.
Because you don't think of her. You think of her being that kind of confrontational, brittle, very secure kind of woman fighting for her rights in a man's world.
Well,
that's the part she played. That's the part she played. And I'm sure she put on that front for a lot of people. But in her home, in Spencer's, and her home that they shared, she had another home up the way from Spencer's. But, of course, our dinners were always at Spencer's home with a beautiful roaring fireplace and had that real lived-in cottage feeling to it. But Katharine Hepburn cooked. All the cooking was done by her. And she didn't have anybody working with her. She had her secretary, her longtime secretary, Phyllis Wilburn, who sort of helped her, but it was really Kate Hepburn that did everything. She had the same dinner every time we went, and it was a real favorite one, and I guess it's the one she knew how to cook the best, maybe, but it was the one we always had. And it was Chateaubriand, always wine, of course, always wine. She liked particularly Dubonnet. And she used to call it Dubonnet. Would you like some Dubonnet? Like, funny expression for Dubonnet, because it's not like Dubonnet, you know. Like I say, for Target. I say Target. For Target, the store. She said Dubonnet. And so she and I would always have a glass of Dubonnet. Over the rocks, actually, she would serve it that way. That way you don't really get the buzz with Dubonnet. You can if you don't serve it with ice. So she would give it with ice, and the men would have whatever they wanted. It would be normally, Spencer didn't drink because he was an alcoholic, so he never drank anything. But Stanley would have a beer or a glass of wine.
Mm.
Anyway, she served Chateaubriand. And what Stanley loved, and Spencer, and he turned Spence and Kate onto this, was potato skins. Not the potato inside, but you cook the potato first inside, you bake it. You take the potato out and just leave the skin and a little remnants of the potato, but not very much of it. And then you would put salt and pepper and some butter, and then you bake it and get it crisp. Really fantastic. Chateaubriand potato skins, which they would eat like bread, you know, but it would be on the plate, not served like bread, but on the plate. And then she'd have whatever vegetable, you know, whether it be broccoli or beans or whatever that was. And then the salad, which was just mixed greens, maybe a tomato, but mostly mixed greens, with mostly a vinaigrette kind of dressing, would be after the meal, after the entree, would be then the salad. That was very European and still very European. The salad comes after,
yeah,
the course, you know. And then her dessert, because she was a real chocoholic. She loved chocolate. Who doesn't? I do, too.
Mm.
But her dessert was always really the creamiest vanilla ice cream, and then hot fudge sauce. Hot fudge sauce, which, of course, would immediately freeze onto the ice cream. And then you would have on the table would always be walnuts to sprinkle on top or almonds, you know, cut almonds, not whole almonds, but just slivered almonds. And then coffee. That was the dinner she always served. And then, of course, the conversation was delicious. She was very subservient. She did all the waiting on Spence. She was very impressed with Picasso's mistress, who had written a book about how to service a man, basically, how to spoil him rotten, and how to, you know, be the I guess you would say it wasn't the wife, it was the mistress role, but because mistresses didn't have the guy, remember, all times, so the mistress couldn't afford to be extremely romantic and be in competition with the wife, right?
Right, and Spencer lived apart from his wife, Catholic, they didn't.
He hadn't lived together for many years,
too. Yeah.
But he never asked his wife for a divorce, and Kate never insisted on it either.
Right.
But they had the relationship.
And they had such a beautiful love story off screen. And then the famous, you know, tell us about Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Well,
when they talk about...
Well, it was a love story in two parts. It was the love story between Sidney Poitier and Catherine Houghton, that love story. But the real love story, which I think competed with it, really, was Spence and Kate's character in the film. And, of course, that last speech when he looks at her and says, well, if you have half, you know, the relationship that we've had, then that's everything. And you know that when he looked at her and she looked back at him, that was really their story.
Oh, it was
more than it was Christina and the Drayton, John Drayton's character.
Yeah.
And so that makes that picture, I think, because they made 9 films together, but they never talked about their relationship. They were never seen together in public. And even though people knew it, In the industry, that was kept very private, and the press respected that.
Right, and that was kind of his public declaration. He passed on like 12 days after,
absolutely.
Right?
You know, it was so cute about them because she was so feminine and was spoiled him rotten. You know, she took such care of him. She was more concerned about him than she ever was herself. And even though we knew he was dying, really, at the time he made Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, we were all concerned, you know, and he was concerned that he would die before it was finished. And he was so proud of the fact that he had finished the film. He called everybody he knew and said, I finished it. I'm so pleased with myself. I can't tell you, it's a real winner. I really feel this is going to be a winner. And, of course, it is. It was. He died exactly 14 days after the film was completed.
Wow, and what a love story.
But it was a real winner. It was
courageous of Stanley to make it because Sidney Poitier was the black fiance that they brought home.
That's right.
Talent,
well, also,
you know,
interracial marriage was a real taboo in this country. It was against the law in 16 states.
Right.
And that film came out. And, of course, that film, our lives were threatened because we made that film. But you know, I must say that even though it was against the law in 16 states, because of the success of that film and the popularity of that film, and because that initiative was on the docket anyway for Social for Change, but it hadn't been voted on yet, that film helped change that law in our country.
Absolutely.
So I'm very proud of that. And, of course, on the box set that's coming out celebrating that film, along with Ship of Fools, the film where I met Stanley, and The Wild One, and Member of the Wedding, which is also a wonderful film, and The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, that'll be out in a few months, and I think it's a great box set for
absolutely
people to collect it.
Well, thank you, Karen, because looks like we're coming to an end.
Oh, how disappointing. I have so much more to say.
I know.
Listening.
Well, I'm going to continue on with you. We're going to blog and, you know, take you for another show.
I've loved every minute of going back into the time of my life with my husband in this wonderful film.
Oh, and you have been such a true delight, and I just want to thank you for being on our show and sharing all these wonderful stories and your recipes.
It's a moment for me as well. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much. It's such a delight. And thank you for
your wonderful show. I think you're lucky people who are listening to this beautiful lady and her remarkable, innovative moments on this show.
Oh, I feel so blessed and honored. Thank you so much. And I just, yes, whoever's listening to the show, and if you want to share it with your friends, you'll be able to hear replays. So go to moderndaygoddess.com and check that out. And you can also check out the blog where we're going to post Karen's recipe for her lobster thermidor, which is what won Stanley's heart on their first date. And then you can also find out about the box set that'll be coming out of the Stanley Kramer Classics. So I'm Cynthia DeDona, your host for Romancing the Table, celebrating life, love, and food. And remember, food shared with love brings joy and connection to the heart. Thanks for listening.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Romancing the Table with Modern Day Goddess Cynthia DeDona, a celebration of love, life, and food. Go to moderndaygoddess.com to read Cynthia's popular romantic food and travel blog with recipes, or order her top-selling book, Diary of a Modern Day Goddess. And we'll see you right back here next week.